Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. Sing praises to our God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wondrous acts. Would you like me to go on? Okay, I will. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Now, hopefully by now you've got the point. God wants us all to sing. Good, good, you're listening. God wants us all to sing. And singing is so much more than just a habit of our church life. And did you notice too that there's no kind of pre-qualifiers in those verses? It doesn't say, if you can sing, if you like to sing, if you can hold a tune, if people enjoy listening to you sing. No, God says, all, make a joyful noise, all the earth. It's not a personality thing. It's not a gifting thing. We all need to step into the shouts of praise. It's so much more than something we do in church. It's not an optional part of church life that we may choose to participate in. Singing is a command from our God. He expects us to sing, whether we like it or not, whether we're good at it or not. God wants us all to sing. And like all of God's commands, if we obey him, it will produce fruit. So, what is the fruit of singing? Why do we sing? Well, on a very practical level, singing helps us remember. Think about all the ads and jingles that you remember because they're accompanied by a tune. I mean, I wonder if we'd all remember that it was, in fact, my dad who picks the fruit that goes to Cotties, that makes the cordial that I like best, thanks Dad, if that message wasn't delivered to us in the form of a song. And we don't have time to look at it today, but when you do have some time, check out Deuteronomy 31 and 32. God speaks to Moses. He delivers a message to Moses, and he tells Moses to teach it to the Israelites in the form of a song. Why the form of a song? Because he knows that we'll remember it better if it's sung to a tune. If a message is sung to a tune, it's easier to remember. He wants Moses to deliver the message as a song, teach it to his people, so that the Israelites can teach their children and their children's children, so that what God has done for them will be remembered. God wants us to remember who he is and what he's done for us. And on a very practical level, singing engages our head. It gives us more information. But what else? There's much more to singing than just remembering. Now, I want you to stay with me on this one. Singing stirs up emotion. Who likes to be emotional? No hands are up. Oh, a couple of good. Good. Some of us do like to be emotional. But I think the majority of us are not excited about being emotional. And particularly, you know, if you're overcome by emotion in a public setting and say losing it, who enjoys losing it publicly? No? No hands up? Okay. Some of you actually may use this as a reason not to sing. I don't want to sing the songs because it just makes me too emotional. I don't want to cry in church again. God gave us emotions, and singing has a tendency to move the emotions. But that's what God wants. He actually wants our affections for him to be stirred up. Now, singing, and the reason this happens is because what singing does is it stirs up the emotions because it engages our heart. There is a heart connection that happens with music. Let's try and demonstrate this. Let's read this together. Can we read this together? All right, let's just read it. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. Now, most of us will know that this is a song, and most of us will know this. So can we try it again, but can we sing it together? Yes? I'll count us in. One, two, three. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. Well done. Well done. Did you notice the difference? There's something different that happens when we accompany words to a tune and sing it. What the emotions stirred up in singing allow us to do is combine doctrine, what we know about God, the truths about God, with devotion to God. It's a way of connecting the head with the heart. And that connection happens, of course, only if we open up our hearts and allow God to speak through that and to move. Now, for those who were here last week, you'll recall Shan shared about a time where she knew that kind of head knowledge. She had the knowledge of God and she knew that Jesus was true, but she felt like her heart was cold. There was something missing. She knew there was more. So through an encounter, she went to a night along with me, we praised God, and then some women prayed with her. She felt uncomfortable in that situation, in that scenario. It was a new experience for her. But through that encounter, God actually warmed her up. She had a heartwarming experience. And she shared last week that one of the things that had changed, that she noticed had changed after that encounter, was and still is in her worship, particularly in song. As she started to praise God after this encounter, after God warmed up her heart, as she was praising God, she'd be overcome with emotion and begin to weep. This is what God actually wants. He wants us to be so overwhelmed by his love for us, so overwhelmed by what he's done for us. He wants us to be so moved by him that we just can't help but weep or dance or shout for joy. Now, I know you might be thinking this is all a little bit over the top, right? This is a bit extravagant. Shout for joy, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. If you want extravagant, there it is. Shout for joy. It doesn't say speak about joy, talk about joy. It says shout for joy. Who? All the earth. We're all. We're part of that. Burst into jubilant song with music. Burst. Jubilant song. These are passionate words. These are emotive words. These aren't reserved. These are out there. These are over the top. Let's consider King David. You can check out 2 Samuel chapter 6 if you want to. King David's worship of God was extravagant. It was over the top. He never held back. He didn't hold back. You couldn't get any more over the top than King David. Imagine somebody dancing through the streets of East Doncaster in their underwear because of their love for the Lord Jesus. We would probably look at them and think, you are a lunatic. People thought David was over the top. This guy's a loony. His wife was embarrassed. She stood from a distance and watched him, and she was embarrassed by him. But how did God describe David? As a man after his own heart. God commended David for his worship. our culture says this is over the top. Unless actually it's in a sporting context, then extravagant praise is actually encouraged. But God wants us to be over the top for him. He wants us to use singing as a way to connect what we know about him in our heads to love for him in our hearts. And we know that singing is powerful. Singing engages both the head and the heart. But what makes singing to God more powerful than singing other songs? I mean, I just talked about the sporting context. Think about, say, the AFL Grand Final. You've got half the MCG singing together for their team's theme song. Now, I've never been to an AFL final, but for those who have been, when I speak to them afterwards, they always talk about the atmosphere. Oh, the atmosphere was amazing. It was so awesome and powerful. Words like powerful and awesome when they describe singing with so many people the team's theme song. There is power in singing. They're not praising Jesus, but there was power in that. There's power in that. What about live performances? For me, it's musical theatre. Love it. Love it. Often, sorry, Dan, I'll expose this a little bit. At home, we'll crank a song called Defying Gravity from the musical Wicked. If anybody's heard it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It invigorates us. We sing it at the top of our lungs. Dan does as well. Yeah, you know it. We sing it at the top of our lungs. It doesn't cause us to weep, but it invigorates us. It gives us joy. It's emotional. It pumps us up. I do have another certain member in my family who's been known to shed a tear or two watching Idol, Australian Idol, or The Voice, a particular power. Somebody comes in and sings a power ballad, and there's tears in his eyes. That's not my husband, by the way. Is there really any difference between the emotion that's stirred up in these songs and singing songs to God? And what about remembering? I mean, sure, on a practical level, songs about God help us to learn and remember what he's done. But we use songs to learn and remember things all the time. A noun's a name, a verb's a do, and adjectives describe boom, boom, boom. Anybody else learn that one? Am I alone in that one? Okay. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. All right, we know it. We know it. We learn it. We remember it. We use it in school all the time. But what makes singing words of praise to God so different? The answer to this question is found in today's reading. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. My brothers and sisters, the biggest, the sweetest, the most juiciest fruit of singing is the presence of God. No amount of people gathered together singing their praises for anything else will ever compete with the presence of the living God. And isn't that the goal of us as followers of God, to be in his presence continually? Now, it is true that we are already in his presence. I mean, Colossians 1 tells us that we're actually alive and breathing right now because his presence is holding us together. It's not something we conjure up. We don't bring the presence of God by our music, by our worship, by our sermons, by our prayer. God is already here and present. God is the primary actor in our worship. The focus, our job, is to respond. So we respond and we welcome him. And we request that his presence be made more manifest among us. What praise does is invite us into a greater level of God's manifest presence on the earth. He inhabits the praises of his people. I like to think of this in three levels. So I'm a visual person, so stick with me on this. So we've got level one. This is a person, this could be me. I know that God's presence is here now. I don't have to praise God to know that that is a reality. God is here. He is present. The Bible tells us that. But I'm also unlikely to experience God's manifest presence if I do nothing, if I just be. Now, it's not to say it couldn't happen. God could sovereignly make his presence known without me doing anything, but it is unlikely. Because if God inhabits the praises of his people, if God inhabits my praise and I don't praise him, then what space am I creating and allowing for him to inhabit? I'm not designed to be a classroom Christian. God wants me to experience him. God wants to speak and interact with me, with us. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Singing is a way for us to say, God, I draw near to you. Praising him is a way to say, God, I draw near to you, and to seek God with all of our hearts. Then we have level two. I praise God on my own, in my own time. I know I can confidently enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And I'll often experience God's manifest presence in this time. You may have had this experience yourself, and I have had this experience myself. I'm at home, alone, on my own. I crank a worship song. I'm praising God, heartfelt praise to God, and his presence will fall. There's two particular times I remember. One, I had the song For the Sake of the World on, and most of you will know it, but it talks about God lighting a fire, burning, for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. And I felt as though God's fire was burning inside me, tangibly. I had an encounter with God. And there was another time I was singing in Jesus' name, praising the name of Jesus, talking about how awesome and powerful the name of Jesus is. And then as I was praying, like the weight of God fell on me and I had to drop on my knees and I felt like I was all of a sudden praying that song over people, over particular people as God was bringing people to my mind. In this place, we open our hearts to God. We keep our eyes fixed on him. And we've just done this Four Keys to Hearing God series. And one of the keys is to fix the eyes of our heart on Jesus. And singing is a way to help us fix the eyes of our heart on Jesus. Because when we sing praise to God, the focus is on him. Our eyes are already fixed on him. So it's a way for us to open up our hearts to him and allow him to speak to us. Interacting with him. We're praising him. We praise him, so there's actually space for him to inhabit. And then we've got level three. This is us. God created us for relationship, to be in community with him. And I guess this is our foretaste of heaven. When we come together, I mean, one day we are going to sing with every tribe and every tongue and every nation in our praise to God, and that day is going to be magnificent. But for now, it's us. It's our foretaste. The Lord says, when two or three gather in my name, I am with them. He inhabits the praises of his people. God is inviting us into another level of his manifest presence when we praise him together. When I lift up my praise to God individually, he inhabits my praise. When we lift up our praises corporately, he inhabits our praises. There is more praise. There is more praise to inhabit when we praise him together. I wonder if this has been your experience. And as I said, I've had experiences of God when praising him on my own. But I've got to say, the most profound, the most powerful experiences I've had of God's presence are when I've been in a place of corporate praise, when I've been praising him together with his people. Now, I want to just say from the outset that not all the times I've actually experienced his presence were during the singing activity. Often it would be following the singing or during the message or during prayers or at a ministry time at church, for example. But it always began with praise. The encounter with God, God's presence, always began with praising him. The gateway into God's presence is through thanksgiving and praise. Enter my gates with thanksgiving and my courts with praise. So it makes sense, it's logical to begin with thanksgiving and praise. It's no wonder we begin our church services with songs of praise. It's like saying to God, we're here, we draw near to you, we want to be in your presence, and we invite you in. Come and inhabit this space. Now, this started to become a reality to me around 7 years ago. Similar to Shannon, I knew in my head that everything I read about Jesus in the Bible was truth. And I knew that that ought to have a bigger impact on my life than it was having. I found myself unsatisfied with my Christian life. And the reason is because what I read about in Scripture, about what Christian life looked like, was not consistent with my experience. And I guess that started a deep yearning for more. So I went searching for more. I started gathering with people who were already hungry for more of God, where I heard God was moving. I enrolled in some experiential kind of courses down at Stairway College, at Stairway Church, and I started attending prayer nights at a couple's house. These are the nights that I eventually invited Shannon to, and she had that encounter with God. The aim of these prayer nights was simple. Come together in praise and worship and seek more of God. Boy, did he inhabit the praises of his people. Now, there is so much to share. I'll just share a few things. On countless occasions, I experienced the manifest presence of God. The first time this happened, it was super weird. It was just Dan and myself at this couple's house in their lounge room. Four people. We started praising God together in song first. Now, that was weird from the outset. Just think, you, three other people in your lounge room singing songs to God. A little bit weird. Then the couple began to pray for us, which was a little bit uncomfortable. And then they started prophesying over us. This is really weird now. And in their prayers, they mentioned that, they said, you know, you'll come across situations where you'll need to pray and you won't have the words to pray, so you'll just pray in tongues. And I'm like, hang on, hold, stop. That's interesting because neither of us pray in tongues. They didn't seem fazed by this, so they're like, okay, we'll just pray for that. And so they prayed that God would release the gift of tongues over Dan and myself. Okay, sure. The next thing I know, my husband Dan is speaking another language. Now, for those of you who know my husband Dan, this is not something he would normally do. So he's speaking another language, and I'm like, what's going on here? The next thing I know, quite literally, I hit the deck. I am hit with the power of God, quite physically, and I'm on the ground and rolling around on the floor in fits of laughter. Uncontrollable laughter. I laughed so hard that my stomach hurt and I had tears rolling down my face. I didn't just stay there for a little while either. It was like a good, it wasn't like 30 seconds. This was like a good 10 minutes rolling around on the floor, uncontrollable fits of laughter. It was the most ridiculous scene. If you were a fly on the wall watching that scene, you would have thought it was ridiculous. But yet at the same time, there was this joy I felt in this place. It was incredible. Now, that was the first of many laughing episodes that would follow for me. Often I'd be in worship and the weight of God would fall on me so strongly that I'd have no choice. I actually couldn't physically stand anymore. I'd have to kneel or I'd fall face down on the ground. Other times, somebody might just come up to me and just as they lay their hand on me to pray, the laughter would start again and I would hit the deck. Sometimes I'd be so overcome by God's presence during praise that the only words that would, I'd be singing songs and then the next thing I know, I'm singing other words. They're not mine. It's a different tongue coming out of my mouth. And often what would happen during these times is that God would drop words and thoughts and visions into my mind and to other people's minds during the initial praise time. So we're singing to God in praise and then all these visions and thoughts and words would come in and then quite organically people would just start to move around and minister to one another and pray for one another and prophesy. And, you know, people would start to pray and somebody would be healed and somebody would be delivered of an evil spirit. It was quite incredible. Now, at the time, I really didn't know what the point of these experiences were. Come on. The laughter? Really? It's a bit ridiculous. What is the point, God? Honestly, what is the point of you knocking me with power and me rolling around on the floor in fits of laughter? What is the point of that? And then I'd be reminded of Pentecost and how the disciples were together in one place, most probably praising and singing, praying together, and the Holy Spirit fell. Their behavior was so ridiculous that the people in the street thought they were drunk. Now, you might have looked at me and thought I was drunk. Absolutely. In fact, the reason Shannon couldn't leave that day when she wanted to leave that place at that meeting is because I couldn't physically walk out the door. I was on the floor. There was a change with each encounter. So as I started to question God, what's the point of this? And I looked at Pentecost and I was reminded of Scripture, I started to realize that my Christian life was starting to look a little bit more like the Christian life I read about in the Bible. And wasn't that my prayer in the first instance? I was like, well, I'm not satisfied, God. So I went after God, and then it started to look a little bit more like what I read about in the Bible. It was like with each encounter that seemed, in an earthly perspective, ridiculous, there was a greater hunger for God and for the things of God, and in particular for me, a greater confidence and a faith in God. Like, there's power in this. God is God. He's real. And what that led to was a greater confidence and a boldness to step out and declare him. So the fruit of these encounters was actually me being bold and stepping out and sharing his love with people. I started to pray for people in the street, at school, mums at the schools. This is stuff I'd never done before. My faith became stronger. And as I stepped out and I saw God move, what did it do? It brought me back to a place of praise and worship. It had come full circle. Started with praise, encountered God, moved with God, responded to what he was doing, brought me back to praise and worship. Everything that happened began with praise. It started in song, and the fruit followed. Now, the fruit varied. What would happen with each encounter would vary. But it all started with praise. And I think it was so fruitful. And it is still fruitful because I'd allowed my heart to be open to him and not to be bound by what the world says is okay, but change my perspective to God's perspective. What do you say is okay, God? So this was a time Dan and I, many of you will know, we spent a few years in Kenya working with the Kivuli Project over there. And so we went through this journey kind of together, and then we went back to Kenya. And we started doing the same thing because we'd learnt that you gather God's people together in praise. You gather together in praise and watch him move and listen and then respond. So I'll show you a clip of praise and worship in Kenya. And I must warn you that praise and worship in Kenya doesn't look like praise and worship. Looks pretty jubilant, doesn't it? Dancing and shouting for joy. We would praise God with those kids and the staff. We'd be jumping so hard and then dust would fill the air. We'd literally be praising in dust. What we taught the children after praise is to stop and listen, to fix the eyes of our heart on Jesus in that praise space and then to respond and to hear and to listen for God's voice. I was going through my journals, and I just wanted to read an entry. This is from early Feb in 2013. We were running a Wednesday prayer night, and three children shared three different Bible verses. So what happened is we'd gather together and we'd praise, session of praise and worship in song, jumping and dancing, and then we'd come together and share, have a time of sharing. What do you think God was saying? So three children shared three different Bible verses, and they all said pretty much exactly the same thing. The message was, I know everything you do, even in secret, and I want you to repent. This might seem like a pretty full-on message for kids, but they got it. They got it. And all the children agreed that we should spend some time in prayer repenting. But I knew that they wouldn't feel free to pray as they wanted whilst everyone was there, conscious of what each other were doing. So I felt prompted to turn the lights off. There we were in complete darkness. For the first few minutes, there was a bit of mucking about, but then the mood shifted. It was bizarre. After a few minutes, I shone the light of my phone to see everyone on their own doing their own thing. Singing, praising, kneeling, standing, sitting, lying, crying. The presence of God was so tangible. It was wonderful. Time was getting on, it was getting late, so we turned the lights on and they started to share what they'd experienced. One boy had a very vivid vision and experienced heaven. He had an experience of heaven and was praying in tongues for the very first time. One girl saw a portal open in the center of the room. She could see individuals in the room, even though we were in complete darkness. And so many angels entered through the portal. The angels went out to individuals to minister to each one. And they looked like stars with wings. She was overwhelmed and so went to look out the window. When an angel gently pushed her to her knees, she said snakes filled her head and came out of her ears. And once they were gone, she felt warm water pour over her head and through her whole body. One boy shared Job 25:1-4. After God gave him the scripture, verse 3 talks about God's army of stars. So a boy's getting a Bible verse about God's army of stars, and a girl's just seen angels enter the room in the form of stars. Another girl saw bright white and red light shining through the middle of the roof. Again, we're in darkness, and many children experienced the presence of God for the first time. We encouraged the children to draw or write down what they saw and experienced. They were all so full of joy and encouraged, and nobody could go to sleep. There was so much that happened in this one encounter. And it started with genuine, heartfelt, extravagant praise. I just want you to notice the course of events with this encounter. The first thing we did, we praised. We sang, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We enter into his presence. He inhabits the praises of his people. So we praised, and then God spoke through his word. He spoke in that space, and his word was repent. So we partnered with God and kept moving with him. We responded. So we spent a time of repentance, repenting. And we praised him. What happened? There were visions. Tongues were released. There were angelic visitations. There was demonic deliverance and healing through warm water. Many experiencing the tangible presence of God. And a joy so extravagant that nobody could sleep. Nobody wanted to go to bed. As God's children, shouldn't we all long to be in God's presence? I guess I want to ask us this morning, in learning what I have, the scriptures are clear that we are to be jubilant, that we are to burst and we are to sing. We are to burst with joy and sing, whether we like it or not, it's not optional. It's a command from God. So, and as Shannon talked about last week, God is worthy, and we are designed to be worshippers of our King. Will you join with me in worshipping our King? Will you join with me in shouts of praise? Because I can do it on my own. I can, and you can do it on your own. And we can go off into our houses, into our own times and into our own spaces, and we can shout praises to our God, and He will inhabit our praises. But through my experience, I've learned that we encounter more of God and who He is and His presence when we actually do it together. And that's what He wants us to do. So I guess that's my question to us. And I guess I know at times there have been beautiful times where together we have raised our heartfelt praises to God and we've experienced His manifest presence. But it's my prayer this morning that a greater hunger and a desire for that would come. So will you join with me in opening up your hearts? Will you join with me in praising our God? Let's together lift up our voices in heartfelt prayer. And let's together let God inhabit our praises. And as we praise, we will see the fruit of His presence. He will meet with us. He will meet with us and He will work through us. Let me pray for us as the music team comes up. Our Father God, we thank You for You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. And I pray, Lord God, that You would remove any obstacle that would stop us from praising You. For all of us who aren't good at singing or don't particularly enjoy singing, I pray for just extra encouragement. Would You spur us on just to do it anyway, because You are worthy? I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would come and warm up our hearts, that cold hearts would become warm and on fire for You. And Lord, as we lift up our praises to You, would You inhabit our praises? Because we long to be in Your presence. Amen.
Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.